Welcome to the B-Field Alumni Podcast.
Coming to you from the B-Field Alumni House.
We're your hosts, Nina Raffo
and Peter Young. In this episode, we spoke with Jared Bocage.
We'll hear about how he started some of your favorite Tulane traditions, his many Tulane degrees, and a funeral he planned for an old Tulane mascot.
Let's get to the episode.
So, you're a Tulane alum.
I am.
When did you graduate from Tulane?
Oh my God. So my first degree was in the year 2000.
Wow.
A long time ago.
Was that your undergrad degree?
It was my undergrad degree.
You were at Tulane in the 90s?
I was at Tulane in the 90s.
Sorry, I didn't know.
And no.
It's so exciting.
It is exciting. And, you know, for everyone talks about being a millennial.
Yeah.
Well, millennials graduated from high school in 2000, but I graduated from college in 2000.
Wow.
It's an important time.
That is crazy.
It is.
So that makes you a baby boomer.
Something like that.
Okay.
Baby?
I think we're part of the silent generation.
The silent generation.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Wait, I love that. I had no idea. That's so cool.
Yeah. So Y2K happened when I was in school.
They I was
going to end.
That must have been so
in
crazy.
Between my last, like, second to last, my last semester.
Oh my God.
It didn't end though.
No, it didn't. No, we're still here.
No, thank
God. Tragically.
But you said your first time. So how many other times have you graduated from Tulane?
I have a few degrees. I really think of myself as a lifelong student. So I've picked up a few. I did a graduate degree in nonprofit management. I've done the MBA. I've done the MPA. Master's in Public Administration.
Mm-hmm. That's four.
That's four.
So far.
Wow.
Working on a few other projects.
You're going to go to med school?
medicine? Probably not, but maybe I should.
Maybe you should. I mean, why not, right?
That would be fun.
There's the new nursing school.
Oh,
the new nursing
degree.
School. Yeah.
Okay.
That could be cool.
Yeah, I want one from each school. Collect them all.
I love that. Oh my God, we should start like a scavenger hunt of like collect all your different degrees.
Yeah, that's going to be the hardest, I think.
Definitely. Okay. Law school, I feel like you could do.
I could breeze through there.
But you can't part-time law school at Tulane?
No.
All right,
okay.
Cool.
So your first degree was the year 2000, and that was your bachelor's degree.
Yes. It was in French literature.
Cool. Do you speak French?
No.
Oh, but you read French.
I do read French. I wish I were fluent. I've been practicing on Duolingo lately because I'm embarrassed at how far away from the language I've gotten. But I was fluent as an undergrad.
Cool.
I think. And I didn't study abroad, but
How long is your Duolingo streak?
Oh, I just started. It's like 38 days.
That's a lot of days.
Oh, I saw someone the other day post that they had 4,000.
But that's a try hard. You're being realistic about it, and we love that.
4,000?
4,000 days?
That's older
if
than
you're
that.
Not, you should be done by then. You should be fluent by then. I thought
I
that's
hope
how Duolingo
so.
Worked,
so. Yeah,
at least.
For sure.
4,000 days is more than, like, a lot of years.
It's over. Yeah, it's a decade.
Yeah.
That's older than the app.
Probably. Oh, it's probably fake.
It has to be.
Could it be 1,000?
If you're... No, it was 4,000, but I mean, I guess a deep fake Duolingo badge is something that we could expect in 2024.
You're so right.
Yes, no, I loved the French department. I started poli sci and English.
Cool.
But then I just kept taking French and I just fell in love with the department. I fell in love with all the faculty and the topics and it's just my favorite.
That's so
cool. I was a political science major and Nina was an English major.
Yeah.
Oh,
I guess all together we should hold hands
we
and sing Ring Around the Rosie.
Yes,
yeah, something like that. That's good. Wow, that's awesome. French lit.
I think now they call it French area studies because Tulane is nationally renowned in French. I mean, in Francophone studies, they study Cajun French, but they study West Africa and North Africa. It's really
And do you speak
department.
Cajun French? Do you read Cajun French?
No, goodness no.
Literature, I thought.
Yes.
Yeah.
Of course.
Cool. Well, what was the most like unique class you think that you took? And it doesn't have to be in your major, just like I mean, it could be in your major, but if you had anything that was kind of stand out while you were there.
We did lots of fun things. Actually, going back to the year 2000, I took a class in the French department that was called Fin de siècle, end of the century, in French, sorry.
No, you're good.
But it was comparing, the end of the 19th century to the end of the 20th century.
Okay.
And looking at anxieties around technology and the time change and all of these things. So that was a super fun class that I took with Felicia McCarran. And I took, in poli sci, I took the honors con law seminar. And so in that class, that was with Nancy Mavidi, and everyone was seated as a justice. And so you had to write a biography of your justice, and then we had to decide a case as the justices. And I think the case was when New Jersey and New York were fighting over Ellis Island.
That's hilarious.
Yes, it was very Tulane to have New Jersey versus New York.
Totally.
But
so much.
I was Justice Breyer. So, yes, I was here so long ago that Justice Breyer was the newest justice on the court, and he's now retired.
Oh,
so,
my.
It was super fun. I'm a huge Justice Breyer fan from the old days.
That is crazy.
So you graduated in the year 2000.
I graduated in the year 2000.
So 2025 will be your 25th reunion.
That's true.
Oh, my God, a reunion
It's
year.
Nice and easy, except no one knows how to say 2000. I'm the class of 00.
I'm the class of 00. I'm the class of 2000.
Yeah.
It's
Y2K. It's
Y2K. I'm the class of Y2K.
Yep.
You are the class of Y2K.
That's true.
Word.
And yeah, where did you live freshman year? Or your first
so
year?
So freshman year, I lived off campus. So you know, I'm from New Orleans.
Right.
So I kind of took advantage of the benefits. It was a little bit different than it is now. So you had different sort of privileges if you were off campus, but if you were from here, you didn't have to live on campus. But I was, it's funny, back then at orientation, I was assigned to a floor as if I lived on that floor. So I was assigned to a Butler 7, I think, which made sense because I was in the honors program and Butler at the time was the honors dorm. So I was sort of the mascot of this weird Butler floor that I didn't really live on, but I would go to their floor meetings and it was funny.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. So I'm Butler. And then like one of my dearest friends lived in the AD apartment of Butler. We used to spend all our time on the Butler patio, which we called Club Veranda.
Club Veranda.
Yes.
Bring it back.
And yeah, so I feel like Butler at heart. And then I lived in Willow for a while.
Cool.
And then I lived off of Maple.
Nice.
Out in the neighborhood. So.
That's
to different places.
One of the first questions we were supposed to ask you that we forgot was, how did you end up at Tulane?
How did I end up at Tulane? Okay. Well, as I said, I'm from New Orleans. So for me, it was really just accepting the fact that I always knew I wanted to go to Tulane. And it was sort of baked into my life. I mean, I remember growing up, I came with my dad, and he was doing research at the law library, which at the time was in Jones Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And the library had these stairways like that were smaller than the regular floors. It was kind of like being in the hull of a ship. So I remember running around the staircases and bothering people.
Like when you were a kid?
When I was a kid, yeah.
I'm sure you were adorable.
Oh, no. I was a monster. But I I was into musical theater when I was a kid, and the first show I ever did in my life was Tulane Summer Lyric.
No
yeah.
Way.
I was in the chorus of Evita.
That was my first show I ever did.
No way.
No way.
It's the best.
Wait, I'm actually shook. That is so crazy.
It's magical.
I did that when I was in third grade. I was in the ensemble at like a place.
Don't
and
cry
it's
for
the
me
best show. For I'm ordinary and unimportant. Let's go.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So like Tulane was always in my life. And I mean, I considered like doing the Northeast for school, but then I thought, no, I love it here. I love New Orleans. I'm from New Orleans. I love Tulane. And the rest is history.
What student orgs were you involved in?
Oh my goodness. So I was a student government nerd.
Love.
From the very first day. So they had this program called the Apprentice Program. And so I was an apprentice my first semester. And they had us go around and do all these things. And then I ran for office. And then I did all these kind of fun things in student government. What else did I do? I did Model UN.
We're going to have to go back to student government.
Oh, we will. Shall we go back now?
Well, yeah, that was very modest of you.
Oh, was it?
What were some of the things positions you held in student government?
Yeah.
Like I said, I was an apprentice.
Mm-hmm.
I was the secretary.
Fun.
Which organization?
So of the Associated Student Body. So mm-hmm. back then, the student body was unified. So each of the schools had seats. It was very formal.
Okay.
And so each delegation sent members. So there were the undergraduate, back then men and women, you know, Newcomb College and Tulane College. Mm-hmm. So there was a Tulane College delegation and a Newcomb College delegation. But the law school was there and the med school was there and everyone sat together. And I was the secretary to that. And then I ran for office when I was very young, when I was a sophomore, but I didn't win. But then I was appointed, which is a long story.
You were appointed.
I was appointed to a vice presidency. And then...
Which vice presidency?
It was the vice president of academic affairs. Okay. So I got to meet with the provost at the time, Martha Gilliland.
Okay.
And then student government went through a very tumultuous time. There was a secession attempt where the graduate students attempted to secede, like Civil War style from the Associated Student Body. And they failed because they didn't have the votes. There were more undergraduate seats than graduate seats, and the way the government was structured, they couldn't get the votes to withdraw.
Oh my God.
And so then they kind of retreated, and then they went through a restructure. And so they proposed, it was all about funding and sort of all that. And so they said, we don't want to spend our time with these undergraduates. So they restructured the government, and that change all went through. It was a big deal. It restructured during the year 1998, and then 1999 was the first year of the new structure. And then I was the ASB president my senior year.
Wow.
You finally were the Supreme.
I was the student body president,
yes. You became head honcho.
Yes, it did happen.
Wow.
Okay, so you were the student body president.
I was a student body president one time. That's a long way of saying that. It was exciting.
That's lore.
It's a lot of layers.
That's a lot of folklore.
If there's one student organization you could have been a part of that you were not a part of, what would that have been?
Oh, 100% Green Envy. I had sung my whole life, but I didn't ever sing that style of music.
Right.
And when I got here, you know, I was like, oh, Green Envy's so cool.
Were they the only a cappella group at the time?
When I started, yes. Eventually, Them started.
Them started while you were there?
While I was.
That's so cool.
So Them also started. Organization Schism, it sounded like.
That's right. There was. No, but it was a great organization. It was started by Jill Schumann. She was amazing. And then there were two. And now there were so many.
I was in an a cappella group that started when I was at.
Which one?
Two Tones.
Oh, Two Tones. That's cool.
Yeah. Did WTUL exist when you
were? Oh, absolutely.
Yes, right? I didn't know when that started.
WTUL is so storied.
Really?
Oh, yes. Cool. WTUL has the most incredible history of almost any student organization on campus.
Yeah, that's the student org I would have.
That's what we both said, WTUL.
Yeah.
Because the DJ just seems so cool.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was not cool enough to walk past their studio. I mean, their collection of LPs is so incredible.
LPs are records.
Oh, yes. Is that the right term? Yes.
Thanks for that, though. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
That's the kind of thing that I wouldn't know. They probably had tapes because you went to school the 90s.
Tapes, yeah.
Like sets.
Did they have CDs then yet?
Of course there were CDs.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Yes. Yes, there were
CDs. Did you have a cell phone?
I did have a cell phone, but cell phones were sort of just becoming a thing.
Yeah, we're trying to learn what it was like about...
What it was like to be...
A Tulane student at that time. So you said turn of the century.
Turn of the century, yeah.
That so be. Y2K, what other big things happened when you were on campus? Or what was the vibe?
What other things happened on campus? Well, we had our perfect season. So that's when Tulane football. So Tulane football, you know, we always had fun at the football games. Uh-huh. But in 1998, we were really good. We had a perfect season. Didn't lose any games.
What?
Went all the way to the Liberty Bowl and won that too. So it was a huge deal on campus.
Where was the Liberty Bowl?
It was in Memphis.
I thought it was in Hawaii.
No. They were in the Hawaii Bowl in 2002.
Oh. So the Hawaii Bowl is in Hawaii.
The Hawaii Bowl is in Hawaii.
Got it.
Were football games at the Superdome at the time?
Yes.
Okay.
Football games were at the Superdome. But sort of my crew, we would go to the games, but the Superdome at the time was attached to a shopping mall, so we would go to the mall during the game.
So
for a little break, the New Orleans Center. It had a Macy's and a Lord & Taylor and all these fun things and a fun food court. So we would just sort of go to the game, but then maybe go to the mall too.
Well, that's like the Tulane. I feel like that's a thing at Tulane. I know. It I was. Always would like the tailgate and then like not go to the game.
You would have gone to a mall if there were one.
What happened to the mall?
It is now Benson Tower.
Oh.
Oh, no. Yeah. Okay. Word. Wow.
Did you have email addresses at Tulane?
We had email addresses.
Did you enter with an email address?
Yes. Well, I entered with a telegram. No. There were stone tablets and then also email.
You registered for classes on stone tablets.
We registered for classes actually via telephone.
So you would call it?
On
by
Tutor.
Yes.
That's right. And I was panicked my first semester because you had to register via phone and you had to register at a certain time.
Right.
And I was actually in Italy when I was supposed to register. So I was registering at a payphone in Tuscany via my parents because I was so worried that I was not going to get classes I wanted. But then I got everything I wanted.
Did the Italians use the same numbers? Did you have to translate?
You know, I needed a translator. I didn't speak Italian.
Right.
It was a huge problem.
That's actually crazy.
It is.
Did you get the classes you wanted?
Everything worked out, yeah.
Okay, good. I'm so glad.
Oh, I just thought of something else that happened when I was there.
Yeah.
We got Riptide.
The Pelican?
Yes. So that was a big deal because
Excellent.
We had, you know, Tulane mascots have a long legacy.
Totally.
And they're sort of back and forth. There was Greeny a long time ago, and then at the time when I started, we were using the T-Wave and we had Gumby.
When you say T-Wave, do you mean the block T with two squiggles or the T with the italic wave, the big wave?
Great question. Yeah, so we had transitioned from the bacon slice T-Wave, which some people call it that, T-Squiggle, to the italics T-Wave. So all that happened in the right around the time when Tulane was doing so well in football. So they were like, we're getting a new mascot. And so one thing that I did that was really weird is I was responsible for planning Gumby's funeral. We had a jazz funeral for Gumby. And so at the time, I had to go. I don't even remember how I ended up with this responsibility, but I had to plan the funeral. And so Old Doris was this residence hall on campus that at the time wasn't being used as a residence hall. It was being used as storage for the theater department. So I had to go in Old Doris and pick out a coffin. And then we had a whole event. Like, we got a brass band, and we we carried the coffin down McAllister.
Was it open casket?
It was closed casket.
Of course.
And so we had a jazz funeral for Gumby, and then we had Riptide.
Wait, that is unbelievable that you planned that funeral. Yeah. I'm shook that they had that. That's amazing.
It was one of the first events I ever planned.
Okay, so you've talked a lot about, like, events and, like, being at the kind of, like, forefront of things. Can you talk a little bit about, like, what you do now at Tulane and your job now and the stuff that your team does and that you do in your day-to-day?
Yeah. So I have the best job in the world. And so what I do is I help people fall more and more in love with Tulane via events and experiences. And all that ties to everything I did as a student. So it's homecoming, so it's getting people to come back. And we do north of 300 events a year. And
for the listener, Jared's being modest. He runs alumni programs.
Yeah.
But I work with a fantastic group of people.
Yes.
Who produce events regionally. So all the chapter events around the world, reunion program, which is bringing people back and throwing class parties, student programs, so hosting dinners everywhere, affinity programs, so bringing people together on the basis of their identity or their shared interests. We do athletics programming, so we do all the tailgates out in the world, and we do lots of fun things around home games here for football. We do the Alumni Awards Gala, so honoring some of our most impressive alumni. Just incredible slate of activities.
Yep. And how did you end up at your job in alumni relations?
Oh my goodness. That is a long story. I'll try to tell it quickly.
And start a timer.
Well, it's all tied to everything that I did. So, I mean, I did all these things as an undergrad. I did my graduate degree, and then I did Teach for America. Mm-hmm. And then I decided I wanted to come work at Tulane. So my very first job, I was a project assistant with the Board of Trustees. So Yvette Jones, who's a role model, a mentor of mine, gave me a shot. And so all these people that I knew from when I was in student government, I got to work with sort of the university leadership at the highest level. And so I did that until Katrina. And it was an incredibly important moment. So Katrina was a sort of defining moment for Tulane in so many ways. Mm-hmm. And so I really was up front seeing people that I consider sort of heroes who saved the university. And I did all that. But that... At the time, there were some changes to student government, oddly, and maybe someone in this podcast studio was involved with that.
Peter.
Yes, I was also involved in a student government restructuring, but ours was, it was forced upon us.
Yeah, by circumstance.
The university's structure changed, and because the structure of the student government was based on the academic structure of the university, we had to follow suit and also change our structure.
So at the time, they were sort of looking around, and they said, well, who around here... One, knows enough about student government to help these folks out, and two, would enjoy doing that. And that was me. So I sort of volunteered with student government, and that led me to a job running student government.
I was on the hiring committee for that job. I think that's how I met you.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Well, thanks for the hire. I started doing that the first semester back to campus. So that would have been January 2006. Yeah, so they were like, can you come help us out? The student government advisor, who was a mentor of mine, Lake Buggs, Actually, she's the reason I planned the Gumby funeral, because that's right, she worked with Tidal Wave.
So you're saying it was her fault you planned it?
No, it's much to her credit that she gave me that opportunity. I'm so grateful to her.
We're
But
Gumby.
when she moved on after Katrina, I sort of stepped in and helped for a little while, and then I probably interviewed for the job and got it, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
I think I remember sitting in a conference room, and at the time, what was the new graduate business school with that interview committee. And the only other person in the room I remember being there was Tabitha Edgins, who was another student at the time.
Oh, Tabitha's wonderful.
She succeeded me as USG
That's
president.
right.
Cool. She's your younger than you.
Yes.
Cool.
So, yes. So I'm in my job now because of Peter.
It's all because of Peter.
Well, yes.
And the hiring committee.
That's right. And the committees. Right. So then I did that for about 7 years. But along with student government, I started doing lots of programming. So I advise Tidal Wave, so planned homecoming as a professional on the student end.
And again, for the listener, another first. If you've been to the homecoming carnival was
Yes.
started by one, Jared
I
Borgata.
You did the homecoming
I
carnival?
did plan a carnival. I forgot about
Wait, oh my
that.
God, thank you for doing that. That was during my years at
It
Tulane.
really was one
And
of my favorite things I ever
it
did.
was so fun going on. I loved the carnival. That was like such an exciting, fun thing.
It was fun.
Yeah.
And it was a great adventure figuring out how to get Ferris wheels
I'm
onto
sure.
quad.
Yeah.
But we did it and we had a great time. So that was a lovely era. Thank
That's
you for
so
the
funny.
reminder. Yeah,
Uh,
that's
so
true.
I was also really lucky to be involved with the group that founded Crawfest. That was
That
also after
founded
Katrina.
Crawlfest.
Yeah. So some of my dearest friends in life were people who started that festival.
So cool.
Yeah, and we didn't know what we were doing at the beginning. And we had all these incredible artists now who
Were you an
are just
undergrad
out.
at the time?
No,
This was when
this
you
is
were
when I was
working.
working. So this
I
is
was an
also
undergrad when Crawfest was founded. It was my
That's right.
senior year.
So the first Crawlfest ever was your senior year.
Spring 2007,
2005. And
almost
you were
now.
helping plan it.
That's right.
So cool.
Yeah, and we had the Revivalists, and
Yeah.
we had Galactic, and we had Dumpsta Funk, and we had all these bands,
And
Chomper and
tons and tons of
Shorty,
crawfish, literal
and so
tons.
much. Yes.
That is amazing. I love that. Crawfest is such a staple now, obviously, as we all know, but
Yeah.
I just love knowing that you guys were like, and I
At
just
the
like work with you
beginning.
guys every day. You just like started so many traditions.
Yeah,
That
really lucky.
yeah.
I didn't really start it. I was just student government gave them money, so
Right.
that was the money. Along with
That was
the
the money behind
along with
the
he didn't plan it, he just paid for it. It's
Yeah.
fine.
Via other people's student activity fees.
That's right.
Including mine.
So cool. Who was your favorite person that ever like came and performed while you were at undergrad? Or actually, it could also be when you were working because you like started Crawfest and stuff,
Yeah, what
but
were your like campus speakers like TUCP or if you had Direction at the time, like who were the
yeah.
big campus
Big
speakers?
campus speakers? I'm trying to think of who speakers. I'll have to think.
Yeah.
Definitely on the concert side. So MTV did this tour called Campus Invasion and they brought Garbage
Cool.
and
Excellent.
Lit opened for Garbage. So it
Awesome.
was sort of the height of like, alternative rock at the time.
Mm
And actually my friend Matt picked up Shirley Manson from the airport in his Honda, which to me is just an indication that Shirley Manson needed a better agent. But I don't know how on earth that happened.
I'm not sure you
Cool.
had to mention that Matt's car was a Honda. That
It
feels.
was, oh, sorry.
No, I
It was
actually
just
love
like
that it
in his
was a
little
Honda because I
sedan,
drive
like
a
he's just
Honda. So,
driving.
yeah.
But just the idea that he picked, I mean, Shirley Manson's super famous and he just
Yes.
picked her up from the airport.
So
It didn't
cool.
seem correct, but it
No.
was fantastic.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, but that was probably the biggest concert that we had then.
So Garbage and
Garbage and
Lit.
Lit.
And Lit.
That was in 1999
In McAllister?
in McAllister. Yeah.
Excellent.
Wow.
And who do you remember who your commencement speaker was the first time?
My commencement speaker, I believe the first time was Bill Sapphire, who was a columnist for the New York Times at the time. You may have to fact check that for me.
We will not be doing that.
I was also on the committee that created Unified Commencement.
So, for the listeners, Unified Commencement also started when you were at
When I was an
school.
undergrad, yeah.
Wow.
So that was the very first ceremony that we did all together. That was a Scott Cowan's vision to sort of bring everyone together in a really celebratory moment. So I was on that group, and the whole Gibson set that was built on the floor of the Superdome and figuring out all the traditions around that, I was part of too. So
Very
it was
cool.
really fun.
So cool. What song makes you think of your undergrad experience at Tulane?
Ooh. That's tough.
Yeah.
Because, well, so, you know, I think 100 years from now, this might be a hot take, but 100 years from now, I think people are going to look back at the late 90s and the early 2000s and say it was a critically important time in music.
Agreed.
We had sort of been raised on alternative rock, Nirvana, all of that. And but then Britney Spears started when I was an undergrad,
That's
like Hit Me
amazing.
Baby One More Time, I think came out 99
Did you go to the
ish.
boot and Hit Me Baby One More Time had like just dropped?
Oh, 100%. So
Oh
like the rise of Britney, you have to remember that Britney was from Kentwood, so she
Hometown,
was
yeah.
like
Right, no,
hometown, right?
completely, yeah.
So here comes Britney, and it was also the apex of New Orleans hip hop.
Yeah.
So true, the true boot anthem at that time was Back That Ass Up, and
Of
that's
course.
AZZ, so
Yeah.
that's okay. But Cash Money,
Cash Money Millionaire.
Vain,
Yep.
Mystical, I
Master
mean,
P.
Master P. Never before or since have you seen so many Bentleys driving around New Orleans, but we would just see them everywhere, and they were everywhere, and they were performing at Jazz Fest, and it was at the boot all the time. So
Cool.
that conversion of alt rock, pop, hip hop, never to be repeated.
Wow. That's
Incredible.
unbelievable.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, like, I would go to the boot and Hit Me Baby One More Time would play, but
But it was
it's
still playing, right?
different. Like, it's just different.
You went on a 90s night. That's
Yeah,
right.
exactly. Or no, I mean, like, they would play that on like a normal night,
It's
but
iconic.
it didn't have the same, you know, it didn't have the same thing. It wasn't new.
That's right.
I can't even imagine. That must have been so cool. Boot pizza in hand.
What other interesting alumni do you think we should interview?
Oh my goodness. Well, first of all, I think my number one takeaway from my time working in alumni relations is that every Tulanian has an incredible story. So basically, you've done mine, but there are 150,000 more, and they are everywhere, and I could give you a million recommendations.
Can I ask one more question?
Please.
Your favorite Tulane memory from undergrad? And it doesn't have to be your favorite, just like the one that comes to mind that's like, it can be during Mardi Gras, it can be anything.
Oh my God. I have so many.
Can you think of one that's like,
One thing that
it's
I
okay if you
remember
can't,
from
as
undergrad
in.
that is so cool is when a bunch of us went to the David Letterman show.
Cool.
So again, that was just another opportunity that came our way from being involved in student organizations. And David Letterman had decided he was doing this thing where he brought cities to his show rather than going and doing shows in cities. And so they basically used Tulane students to sort of pack the plane. They chartered these planes and we flew up there. And so they put us up in a hotel and then we did the show. But it was also the last night of Seinfeld, like the end of Seinfeld was happening at the night the show was taping. So the show taped Seinfeld for us. And then if we wanted, we got to watch it. So I got to watch the end of Seinfeld in New York in the Ed Sullivan Theater after taping David Letterman with a bunch of Chilean people. It was super fun.
Wow.
And what did you think of the Seinfeld finale?
Oh, I think Seinfeld is core to my personality. I like believe I worship Larry David as a god. I think it's brilliant.
Have you been paid to say that?
No. Just checking.
Okay, cool. Thank you so much for being here.
Well,
This was
thank you for
so much
having
fun.
me.
I
I
had the
had so
best
much
time
fun. I
with
get to
you.
recover. Yes.
Yeah, I
Thank
know I
you.
could literally sit here and talk all day.
Yeah.
So,
No,
yeah.
I can't wait to hear other people's stories. So thank you.
Okay.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the B Field Alumni Podcast.
Find us on Instagram at BField Alumni Podcast.
Or on the web at alumnipodcast.tulane.edu.
See you next time. Roll
Roll
wave.
wave.